Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, says he will not seek another term in Congress. Ryan is the top Republican Party lawmaker in the House. His announcement came as congressional Republicans face worries over losing their majority in elections later this year. All 435 members of the House are required to seek re-election every 2 years. Republicans currently hold 237 House seats. The Democratic Party controls 192 seats. Ryan joined a growing list of lawmakers who have decided against seeking re-election. 37 Republican House members are leaving office when their term ends in January 2019. On the Democratic side, 17 House members chose not to seek another term. The Democratic Party was more popular among likely voters in recent opinion studies. The survey data found that the Democrats are between 5 to 11 percentage points higher than the Republicans. Speaking in Washington on Wednesday, Ryan said his decision to retire was not based on a fear of losing his party's majority in the House. He said he wanted to spend more time with his wife and 3 children. Ryan said that he has accomplished a lot in a short time as Speaker. He added, "We're going to have a great record to run on." Ryan will leave Congress when his term ends. Ryan was first elected to Congress in 1998. At the age of 28, he became known as one of the young guns in the Republican Party. In 2012, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney asked Ryan to serve as the party's candidate for vice president. They lost the election to then-President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. 3 years ago, Ryan accepted the job of House Speaker after the sudden retirement of Speaker John Boehner. Ryan has long sought for tax cuts and reforms to government entitlement programs. He also wants to overturn the Affordable Care Act, which expanded the nation's health care system. In 2010, President Obama signed the act into law. Today, both supporters and opponents of the law call it Obamacare. Late last year, Ryan and the Republican-controlled Congress approved tax cuts but were unable to end Obamacare. The House Speaker announced his plans at a closed-door meeting of Republican lawmakers Wednesday morning. Ryan told them that serving as Speaker has been the professional honor of his life, and he thanked them for the trust they placed in him. Ryan's spokesman said in a statement, "After nearly 20 years in the House, the Speaker is proud of all that has been accomplished and is ready to devote more of his time to being a husband and a father."
United States President Donald Trump has tweeted that Russia should be ready for a missile strike in Syria. In the message on the social media service Twitter, Trump said, "You shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it." He said the missiles would be new and smart. The comments come after Russia's ambassador to Lebanon said on Tuesday that Russian forces would shoot down any missile fired at Syria. A spokesman for the Russian government, Dmitry Peskov, said U.S. missiles should target terrorists and not the legitimate government in Syria. Peskov also said that all parties involved in Syria should refrain from actions that could destabilize the area. The Syrian state news agency called the threat of a missile strike reckless escalation. Tensions rose in Syria after reports of a suspected chemical attack in the town of Douma on Saturday. At least 40 people are said to have died. The World Health Organization said Wednesday it had received reports from its partners about the victims. The WHO said 500 people who sought treatment Saturday showed signs and symptoms of coming in contact with toxic chemicals. A WHO spokesman said, however, the agency cannot say the deadly incident was a chemical attack because it cannot get into the area. The WHO said it had reports that as many as 70 people may have died. The UN agency demanded that it be given the immediate unhindered ability to meet with people injured in the attack. The United States and several allies have centered blame on military forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad. But Syria and Russia have denied that charge. Trump also has blamed supporters of Assad in Iran and Russia for the attack. Soon after the suspected gas attack, Trump said those responsible would pay a big price. The U.S. president has spoken with the leaders of Britain and France about a possible answer. French President Emmanuel Macron said a decision on a possible strike would be made in the coming days. The United Nations Security Council met on Tuesday for an urgent discussion on Syria. Russia vetoed a U.S. proposed measure to create a commission to investigate the attack. The Associated Press reports that the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons will send a fact-finding group to Douma shortly. The OPCW is based in The Hague. The AP says the Syrian government and Russian supporters requested the mission. However, it is unclear if such a mission might affect U.S. or allied military action in the area. The U.S. has more than 2,000 troops in Syria, and the U.S.-led coalition has launched thousands of airstrikes against the country. Most have been against the Islamic State terror group. President Trump has canceled a planned trip to Latin America, which was to begin Friday. The administration said that Trump would oversee the American response to Syria. I'm Mario Ritter.
U.S. lawmakers have demanded that Facebook take more steps to protect the privacy of its users. Some even raised the possibility of regulating social media networks. The demands came during 2 days of testimony on Capitol Hill by Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg. He appeared before Senate and House committees on Tuesday and Wednesday. The 33-year-old founder of the social media service showed up wearing a dark suit and tie instead of his usual T-shirt. He faced questions mostly about the company's privacy policies. Lawmakers called Zuckerberg to testify after he admitted the company made mistakes that led to private data of users being shared with a British research company. Facebook has said the company, Cambridge Analytica, wrongly received the private data of up to 87 million users. Zuckerberg said on Wednesday that his own private data was also taken by the company. The information was collected through an app that users used Facebook to sign into. Cambridge Analytica is a political research company. It provided information to the campaign of then-presidential candidate Donald Trump. Zuckerberg recently issued a public apology for the incident, which Facebook says it learned about in 2015. He repeatedly apologized again during his congressional testimony. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Chuck Grassley, told Zuckerberg on Tuesday he saw the Cambridge Analytica situation as clearly a breach of consumer trust. Zuckerberg took full responsibility for the incident.
It was my mistake, and I'm sorry. I started Facebook, I run it, and at the end of the day, I'm responsible for what happens here.
Facebook began informing users this week as to whether their private data may have been wrongly shared with Cambridge Analytica. Zuckerberg says the company has already cut off the ability of apps on Facebook to collect such data. The company is still investigating the Cambridge Analytica incident. Zuckerberg said Facebook is also looking into whether additional apps might have wrongly shared user data in the past. Some U.S. lawmakers have raised the possibility of regulating Facebook and other social media companies. They argue the companies have become too big and powerful to police themselves. The companies have been criticized for secretly selling user data to make money. They have also been blamed for not taking enough action to prevent the spread of false news. Facebook has also been accused of not identifying foreign sources of political advertising during the 2016 U.S. presidential campaign. On Wednesday, Zuckerberg told the House Energy and Commerce Committee he is not opposed to some kind of regulation.
The internet is growing in importance around the world in people's lives, and I think that it is inevitable that there will need to be some regulation.
However, Zuckerberg added that lawmakers would have to be careful about how to put possible regulations in place. He told Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on Tuesday he would be willing to work with lawmakers to examine which regulations might be necessary. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. President Ulysses Grant served two terms in office. His administration was marked by corruption. The president himself was not linked directly to any of the incidents, but he was friends with dishonest members of the cabinet and Congress. Jack Weitzel and Tony Riggs tell how Grant's problems affected the Republican Party in the presidential election of 1876.
The American people were very disappointed with President Grant. He was the military hero of the Civil War. He had led the Union Army of the North to victory over the Confederate Army of the South. His popularity dropped, however, during his presidency. Grant was not an effective political leader, nor was he able to control the men around him. The American people also were worried about the nation's economic situation. A serious depression had begun during Grant's second term. Many people were out of work. They blamed the ruling Republican Party.
The state and congressional elections of 1874 were an important turning point. Republicans were shocked by the results. For the first time in 18 years, the Democratic Party won control of the House of Representatives. They won 169 seats. The Republicans won 109. Democrats also won control of 23 of the 35 state governments. These included several northern states where people were tired of Republican rule.
Important changes also were made in the South. Democrats won control of southern state governments from radical Republicans. One of these states was Mississippi. White Democrats there began organizing groups called White Leagues. These groups wanted to prevent blacks from voting for radical Republicans. They started riots in which many blacks were killed. They also used economic power against blacks. These efforts succeeded. Most blacks were too afraid to vote. The Democrats took control of both the Mississippi legislature and the governor's office. Similar actions with similar results took place in other southern states.
As Grant's second term came to an end, he began to talk about the possibility of another 4 years in the White House. Republican politicians were firmly opposed. They blamed Grant for the party's defeats in state and congressional elections. Grant had to give up any hope of a third term. Congressman James Blaine seemed to have the best chance of winning the Republican presidential nomination in 1876. Blaine had been Speaker of the House of Representatives when the Republicans controlled Congress. He was powerful, and he had many supporters. Some Republican leaders, however, questioned his honesty. Blaine fought this criticism with an emotional speech in Congress.
When the Republican Party convention opened in Cincinnati, Ohio, Blaine was the leading candidate for the presidential nomination. He expected to win the first day. There was a wild demonstration of support when his name was put before the convention. But before the voting could begin, the lights went out. Some delegates believed Blaine's opponents were responsible. These opponents worked all night to get other delegates to change their support from Blaine to another candidate. When the delegates voted the next morning, Blaine did not have enough votes to win the nomination.
However, after six ballots, Blaine appeared ready to win. To stop him, his opponents needed to unite behind another candidate. One of these candidates was Rutherford Hayes, the governor of Ohio. Hayes had fewer enemies than the other candidates, so he became the compromise candidate for delegates hoping to stop Blaine. On the seventh ballot of the convention, Rutherford Hayes captured the Republican nomination.
The Democratic Party met in St. Louis, Missouri. Delegates nominated Samuel Tilden, the governor of New York. Tilden had led the fight to end dishonesty in government in New York State. He had ousted a group called the Tweed Ring, which controlled New York City politics for years. Democrats said he was the man to end dishonesty in government in Washington. Republicans campaigned by denouncing the Democratic Party. They called it the party of Southern rebellion and treason. Instead, they said, vote for the Republican Party, the party that had saved the Union. Democrats campaigned by attacking Republican dishonesty. They blamed Republicans for the nation's economic problems, and they promised better times for everyone if their candidate was elected.
The presidential election of 1876 was very close. By midnight of Election Day, the results seemed to show that Democrat Samuel Tilden was the winner. Republican Rutherford Hayes went to bed believing he had lost. However, the Republicans quickly saw that the electoral votes of three southern states could decide the winner. In the American presidential system, whoever wins the most popular votes in a state usually gets all the electoral votes of that state. In 1876, the electoral votes of three states, Florida, Louisiana, and South Carolina, were enough to give the White House to one candidate or the other.
Each party claimed victory in these three states. Each accused the other of stealing votes and counting ballots unfairly. Finally, the two parties agreed to form an electoral committee to decide who had won the disputed votes. The committee was supposed to include 7 Republicans, 7 Democrats, and 1 independent. But before it could meet, the independent member resigned. A Republican took his place. The Republicans had a majority.
The committee first debated the disputed votes of Florida. After much discussion, the 8 Republicans on the committee voted to accept the votes of Florida's Republican electors. They rejected a proposal to investigate the way the votes were counted in the state. They said there was not enough time for a full investigation. The same thing happened with the disputed votes of Louisiana and South Carolina. The Republicans on the committee voted to count the Republican electors. The Democrats voted to count the Democratic electors. In each case, the Republicans won by a vote of 8-7.
As a result, Rutherford Hayes gained the electoral votes of all 3 states. This gave him enough to win the election. Democrats were furious. Democrats in many states began organizing party militia groups. They said they would fight, if necessary, to prevent the Republicans from stealing the presidency. The situation seemed very tense and dangerous. Many feared the start of another civil war. Negotiations finally provided a peaceful solution.
Representatives of the two parties met secretly to work out a compromise. The Democrats agreed to permit Republican Rutherford Hayes to be sworn in as president. In return, Hayes agreed to end federal support of radical Republican governments in the South. He promised to name Southerners to his cabinet and other important jobs. And he said he would provide more federal aid for schools and railroads in the South. As part of the agreement, Hayes promised not to act aggressively to support the civil rights of black Southerners.
Hayes' opponent, Democrat Samuel Tilden, did not oppose the agreement. Tilden was an old man. His health was poor. He agreed that 4 years of Rutherford Hayes would be better than 4 years of civil war. So it was that Rutherford Hayes became the 19th president of the United States.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.